thou knowest what's going through the hearts and the minds of thy people. Lord, thou knowest all that is within us. Lord, thou knowest that how many are looking to thee for a way, thy way. How we are looking to thee to lead us out of confusion. Lead us out of darkness. Lead us out of puzzlement, of doubts, of despair. Oh, that we may follow thee. We may follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. But Lord, where are you going? What is the footstep of thy sheep? Make us hear thy voice. Thou dost say thy sheep hear thy voice. Thou dost say thou goest before, and thy sheep follow thee. O Lord, where dost thou tend thy sheep? Oh, do not allow us as people who are veiled. But Lord, we pray that I will remove the veils from our hearts. Oh, that we may behold thee with unveiled face, that we may see thy glory. We may hear thy voice. This is the way. Walk ye in it. O Lord, we desire to follow thee. We desire to go where thou goest, to stay where thou stayest. Lord, we do not care whether it is the mountain or the valley. We do not care whether it is prosperity or adversity. We do not care whether it is riches or destitution. Lord, we do not care about these things. Our whole desire is to follow thee, Lord. Oh, we want to please thee, Lord. We want to be assured that we are approved of thee, Lord. Lord, we do not look for success. We look for thy approval. O Lord, a smile from thy face is sufficient for us. It can wipe up all our tears. O Lord, thou knowest the deep cry of our hearts. Lord, answer us tonight. Oh, answer us from heaven. Answer us with thy voice, Lord, that we may not be mistaken anymore. Thou knowest we are foolish. We are like foolish sheep. Thou knowest. Lord, unless thou speakest in such clarity, we don't know. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Hear us, O Lord. Speak, Lord. Oh, Lord, speak with such clarity that we cannot be mistaken. Oh, Lord, we want thee. We want thy will. We want to please thee. Lord, we want thy will be done. We want to see thy glory. We want thy kingdom come. We want thee to be highly exalted. Oh, far above all. Lord, we just prostrate ourselves in dust and ashes. Touch us, Lord, that we may stand up and walk. We ask in thy precious name.
will you please turn to the book of Revelation? Chapter 2. Verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Verse 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall in no wise be injured of the second death. Verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and on the white stone a new name written, which no one knows but he that receives it. Verse 26. And he that overcomes, and he that keeps unto the end my works, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall shepherd them with an iron rod, as vessels of pottery are they broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give to him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcomes, he shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, and will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 12. He that overcomes, him will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more at all out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 21. He that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We mentioned during these nights that the burden of the Lord is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the one thing that God is intensely and exclusively interested in. The testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? It is the declaration, the affirmation of a fact, a truth, a reality. And we mention again and again that fact is Jesus Christ. That truth is Jesus Christ. That reality is Jesus Christ. It is the declaration of who he is, who Jesus is, and what he is that constitutes the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this testimony is today entrusted to a new vessel. And that new vessel is the church of God. Because we are still in this flesh, therefore, so far as the responsibility of this testimony is concerned, you find it is deposited, entrusted in the churches in many places. That's the reason why John, as he turned back, he saw the seven golden lampstands with the Son of Man in the midst of them. Now, brothers and sisters, as we mentioned before, it is natural for us, when we are interested in Christ, when we are interested in the things of God, it is natural for us to become interested in God's people. If we are not interested in Christ, if we are not interested in the things of God, we will have absolutely no interest and no concern about the people of God. Who are they to us? But as soon as we become interested in the testimony of Jesus, immediately we find ourselves very much concerned about the conditions of God's people. Why? Because God's people are the vessel of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And immediately, disappointment comes. When you look at the churches, when you look at the people of God, what do you see? But brothers and sisters, God does not want us to take a first look at the conditions of the church. This can be the second look, but not the first look. The first look has to be directed towards the vessel of the testimony of Jesus as God has ordained it to be. In other words, we need first to see the heavenly vision and be caught with it before we are qualified to look at the situation of the churches on earth. We have to see what God sees eternally first, and then come to see things that are temporally and transient. So first of all, brothers and sisters, all we need to look to the Lord to give us a vision of the Son of Man. A vision of our Lord Jesus. How He is the first and the last. He is the living one. He became dead and He is alive forever. And He holds in His right hand the keys of death and Hades. We need to see a vision of our Lord Jesus. Much, much bigger than just to see Him as the crucified one. That is big. Oh, that is big. He is the crucified one. Our salvation is accomplished by Him on the cross. Tremendous. But brothers and sisters, our vision of the Lord Jesus has to be enlarged. He is not only the one who became dead, but He is alive. Forevermore, He is the very purpose of God, the very center of everything, the sum of all things. We need to have a vision of our Lord. And then we also need to have a vision of what the vessel for the testimony of Jesus ought to be. Or what is it in the mind of God, in the purpose of God? It is a golden candlestick. Pure gold, beaten work, exquisite form, with cup, knob, and flowers. In other words, it is purely of Christ. Of all the riches, the fullness, the beauty, the glory of Christ. And this is what the church really is. Now, after you have seen this, then the Lord will turn you again to earth and allow you to see what are the actual conditions of the church today. As you read the seven letters to the churches in Asia, aside from that letter to the church in Philadelphia, or you may add another one, the church at Smyrna. In general, as you read the seven letters to the churches, you find that they are far from what God has intended. In other words, our Lord Jesus, as He looked at these seven churches, trying to find Himself in them, trying to find His testimony in them, He has revealed Himself to them. They have His testimony, but what a failure. Suppose the Lord Jesus should come tonight and walk among His churches. Will He recognize these churches? Can He find Himself in these churches? What will He find? He will find lots of works, lots of activities, lots of knowledge, lots of good things. Oh, no lack of all these things. And yet, where can He find Himself? What is it that is in the church that responds to Himself? Too many substitutes, but there is not the reality. How you find our Lord Jesus? Exhorted the seven churches to repent. Repent. Dear brothers and sisters, the people of God need to repent. Not to repent because there is any lack of activity. Not to repent because there is any deficiency in knowledge. Not to repent because there is any lack in good works. But to repent because when the church is measured by the testimony of Jesus, it does not measure up. Does not measure up. But does the church hear the voice of repentance? Does the church really repent? On the one hand, you find the Lord Jesus in writing to these seven churches. First, He tells them who He is, what He is, to show to them that He hasn't changed. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. As He has revealed to them before, so now He still is. And then He tried to commend them for the good things that He can see, in order to encourage them. But he is not satisfied with all these things. He is looking for the testimony of Jesus in them. And when he cannot find it, he said, repent. Oh, repent. If you do not repent, then you are forcing me to remove the lampstand out of its place. Even though you may still exist on earth as an organization, but the testimony is finished. The reality is gone. If you do not repent, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will have nothing to do with you. But does the church listen? Does the church hear? Does the church lay herself down in dust and ashes? No. They have heard, but not hear. And because of that, at the end of each letter, the Lord has to do something different. After he has pointed out what is missing, after he has called them to repent, and they do not, the Lord ends each letter with a call for overcomers. He that overcomes, he that overcomes, let those who have ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, there is the call for overcomers. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the call for overcomers is not God's original call. The call for overcomers is God's remedial call, secondary call. The call for overcomers is God's strategic way of recovery. If the church is normal, if the church should listen, if the church is what God has designed it to be, there is no need for the call of overcomers. The whole church is the overcoming church. The head is the overcomer. The body is the overcomer. But brothers and sisters, because the church does not listen, the church does not respond, God has to take a new measure, an emergency measure, a strategic step, for the sake of obtaining what he desires for the church. Brothers and sisters, there is one thing that weighs very heavily upon my heart. A question, a wonder. Will the church ever be what God ordains it to be? The golden lampstand made of pure gold, of beaten work, finished. Is it a dream? A bad dream? When you wake up, that dream is so sweet, it makes you bitter. The Bible says, until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, no longer as babes tossed here and there. Will it ever be? Will the bride ever be ready for the bridegroom? If the bridegroom is delayed because the bride is not ready, when will the bride be ready? It seems as if the bride is unready more and more. No. Many years ago, as I read Ephesians 4, I cannot see. How can God's purpose be fulfilled? Will there ever be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle that can be presented to Christ as His bride? Forgive me to mention Brother Nee. I talk with him. I ask him. I said, can it ever be? Is there any hope? I do not see any possibility. Even though at that time I saw very little. But even with the little I saw, it was hopeless. And now after so many years, it's even more hopeless. And I remember our brother answered me very simply. He said, brother, this is to be fulfilled on the principle of the overcomers. Oh, how this comforted me. Of course, the Lord's heart is to see His church as a golden lampstand of lifting the testimony of Jesus. Of course, it is the heart desire of our Lord to see the whole church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, ready for the bridegroom. Of course, no doubt about it. But what? What if God's people do not repent? What if God's people are contented with the present situation? What if God's people's ears are deaf? What if God's people do not respond to the love cry of God? Will God's purpose be defeated? Will there be no testimony of Jesus on this earth? Oh, thank God. He has His way. It is the way of the overcomers. God will call overcomers in the church to take the place, to bear the testimony of Jesus when the church in general fails. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is a very important principle in the Scripture concerning recovery. Again, I will emphasize, this is not God's first call. God's first call has already been out. And if the first call is obeyed, there needs to be no second call, as it were. As a matter of fact, the second call is the same as the first call. There is only one difference. It is more specific. Now let me illustrate it. You remember when Abraham was in Ur of Chaldea. The Lord of glory appeared to him and called him to go out of his native land, out of his kindred, and go to the place that God has chosen for him. Now remember, this call came when Abraham was in Ur of Chaldea. It's recorded in Acts chapter 7. That's the first call. Did Abraham obey? Yes and no. He responded to the call, but halfway. It is true that he left Ur of Chaldea, out of the native land, but he stopped at Haran, which is in the middle of Canaan and Ur of Chaldea. True, he left his kindred, but some kindred came out with him, his father Terah and his nephew Lot. Many years passed in Haran. There was no appearing of God. There was no call of God anymore. Until Terah died. And then God called him the second time. And that's recorded in Genesis chapter 12. The call that came to him the second time was when Abraham was in Haran, not in Ur of Chaldea. If we are not careful, we may think that is the call. Only one call. But if you read the Bible carefully, you'll find this is actually the second call. And the call of God came to him and said, you go out of your native land, of the land. Go out of your kindred and of your father's house. Specific. The same call, but it becomes more specific. In other words, where you fail is where that call is specifically directed. Dear brothers and sisters, the testimony of Jesus is a full testimony. That vision in Revelation chapter 1 is a full vision. The declaration of Christ in chapter 1 is a complete declaration. And this full testimony of Jesus Christ is entrusted to the church. But because the church has failed in bearing the testimony of Jesus, the Lord calls for overcomers. But when the call for overcomer comes, you find it is very specific. We will explain it more later on. But anyway, you'll find God has a way to fulfill, accomplish His purpose in spite of the failure of man. Thank God for that. Let's use an illustration, which is familiar, probably, with most of us. You remember the children of Israel. They were God's chosen people. The testimony of God was entrusted to them. But they failed in the testimony. They broke the law. They worship idols. They were supposed to bear the testimony of God to the world. But now, where was the testimony? They were worshiping foreign gods, foreign idols. They were no different than the rest of the world. Complete failure. And because of that, the discipline of the Lord came upon the nation. The Jews were taken into captivity to Babylon. The temple in Jerusalem was completely destroyed. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed. the Jewish people, they were taken into Babylon, into captivity. Physically speaking, there was no more testimony of God on earth. No Jerusalem, no temple, no sacrifice, no people of the testimony. They were captured. And for that reason, you find in the book of Daniel, God is only called the God of the heavens, no longer God of the heavens and the earth. There was no more testimony of God on earth. Finished. But thank God, after 70 years, God began the work of recovery. And when God initiated this work of recovery, what did he do? He stirred the heart of King Cyrus of Persia. And King Cyrus made a decree, a royal decree, and said, God had commanded him to make a proclamation that any of the Jewish people in captivity who would like to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God, he may do so. Isn't that sovereign? Anyone of the Jewish people who was in captivity, who were desired to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God, you may do so. Dear brothers and sisters, probably we will think, during those 70 years of captivity in a foreign land, as slaves, with no temple, no sacrifice, how could they live through these 70 years? These 70 years must be most miserable. They must be waiting day after day for an opportunity to return, for an opportunity to go back. Surely that was what they should be. And if the proclamation should come, then everybody will rise up and go. Even though they were in captivity, but during those 70 years in captivity, even though they had no Jerusalem, no temple, no sacrifice, no testimony, they were slaves, but they learned to adapt themselves. Adaptation is one of the finest things that human beings have. If we cannot adapt, that would be terrible. It is a good thing, physically speaking. But adaptation, spiritually speaking, is our worst enemy. During those 70 years, they learned to adapt themselves to their conditions. And they adapted so well. You just cannot imagine how well they had adapted themselves. They began to build their houses. They began to have their trades. They began to accumulate wealth. And more so, they began to have synagogues. You know, that's where synagogue began. You don't find in the Bible the origin of synagogues. Because the origin of synagogues is not divine, it is human. It is a human way of adaptation. Very clever. Ingenious. The masterpiece of human cleverness. There was no temple. But we were God's people. Even though they had failed so terribly, they still profess themselves as God's people. Now God's people must worship. But there was no Jerusalem where God put his name. There was no temple where they could sacrifice. Now what should they do? Let's have some substitute. No temple, but synagogue is all right. You know what a synagogue? Synagogue is a substitute of the temple. And they substitute it so well. You can only have one temple, but you can have numberless synagogues. If you go to the temple, you have to travel to Jerusalem. But now, you don't need to travel. You can have a synagogue on your street. Isn't that convenient? According to Jewish tradition, if there are 10 Jewish men of leisure, you can organize a synagogue. And by 10 Jewish men of leisure does not mean that they have no other works. It means that they are interested in so-called spiritual things and they are willing to spend some time in it. Then if you have 10 of that kind of men, you can have a synagogue. So during the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, synagogue just sprang up, in Chinese, like bamboos, just sprang up everywhere in the land of captivity. Oh, they said, how convenient it is. We don't need to travel anymore. It's right next door. Oh, yes. It was not as complete as the temple, because there was no altar, there was no sacrifice, because you cannot sacrifice anywhere. You only can sacrifice in Jerusalem, in the temple. There was no altar, there was no sacrifice, but they could read the book, they could sing the songs, they could still pray. It wasn't perfect, but it was better than nothing. And this second best so satisfied them, they lost the vision of the best. After 70 years of captivity, the Jewish people, oh, their conscience, as it were, was bribed by synagogues. And they were so adapted to the foreign situations. When the call came, anyone who would like to go back to Jerusalem to build the house of God, he may go. They hear, heard, but not heard. There was no movement in their hearts. What? To go back to Jerusalem? There was nothing there. A ruined city, surrounded by enemies. But here, at least we have our own houses. Go back to Jerusalem and start all over again. We have been rooted here quite well. Go back to Jerusalem because we can rebuild the temple. If there were no synagogue, then it was necessary. But since we have the synagogue here, why bother? Why bother? And the result was only a remnant. Of all the Jewish people that were taken into captivity, only a remnant of less than 50,000 were willing to be uprooted. 50,000 the dangers and the perils, went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Dear brothers and sisters, when they came to Jerusalem, they were but a few in comparison with all the Jewish people at that time. They were just a remnant. But they came back. The Spirit of God stirred their hearts. They were willing to let go everything. They came to Jerusalem. And when they came to Jerusalem, the first thing they did, they rebuilt the altar. When they rebuilt the altar, they rebuilt with 12 stones. Because the Jewish nation is a nation of 12 tribes. Even though only a remnant came back, and yet their coming back was for the sake of the whole nation. They did not come back just for themselves. Because the rest of the nation refused to respond to the call of God. They responded for the whole nation. Oh, they did not say, "We came back, we were much better than you were." No. When they built the altar, they didn't build it with 2 stones, with 12 stones. The whole nation was there before God in the person of the remnant. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a principle of recovery. Let me emphasize again. It is not the first principle of God's Word. It is the second principle, the principle of recovery. You have that in the Old Testament. I'm just using one illustration. And then when you come to the New Testament, to the church. Oh, brothers and sisters, is not the church a new creation? Should it not be better than the earthly people of the Jewish nation? As we come to the Lord, we are as living stones, being built up together into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A golden lampstand for the testimony of Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is for the whole church. This is for all God's people. It is all inclusive. But what if the church is in captivity and refuses to come back? I don't know, brothers and sisters, how you feel. If you see the conditions of God's people today with the eyes of God, that is to say, if you can see as God sees His people today, can you say that the whole church responds to the call of repentance? And because of that, brothers and sisters, today, the call for overcomers is out. When the rest of the church refuses to respond, God said, who has ears to hear and respond? Brothers and sisters, we are so contented in the foreign land. We are strangers and sojourners. But we have sojourned here so long, we are adapted to it. We become rooted in this world. Even though it is not the best, but we learn to live with our situations. And furthermore, are we not still very religious? Do we not still go to church on Sunday at least? Do we not still have all these so-called Christian activities going on? Don't we have many good works? And so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, do these substitutes really satisfy your heart? Is your conscience really bribed? Or does the Spirit of God stir your heart and say, no? Not because I'm better than my brothers and sisters. No, I'm worse. But I hear the call. He that overcomes. Overcomes what? Why overcome? Because you are in a situation that is contrary to the testimony of Jesus. And many have been overcome. That is the reason why the call is out. Oh, he that overcomes. That is to say, overcome the situation and respond to the testimony of Jesus. Who will do that? He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In every letter you find, the Lord announces himself. It is just almost a repetition of what you see in the first chapter of him. But it suits the special conditions of each church. It becomes specific. Some people ask this question. What should we overcome in order to make us overcomers? Is there a standard? Are there, say, a list that we can check off one by one? And if we can check off every one of them, then we are overcomers. Dear brothers and sisters, thank God there is no such list. According to the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you respond to the revelation of Jesus Christ, you keep the testimony of Jesus, you are an overcomer. To the church in Ephesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ is he who has the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. That is his revelation. In other words, he is here. He is here. He is present. But to the church in Ephesus, he is not here. He is not here. the works goes on. The labor goes on. The knowledge continues. And so on and so forth. But the first love is not there. He is not here. I wonder if the church in Ephesus began to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, it is reduced into a knowledge of good and evil, but not the tree of life. I wonder if that is a hint, because to he that overcomes, the Lord said he will give him to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. How can we hold on to knowledge, to word, to good things, to reasonings? But the Lord is not here. There is no love. There is no love. To the overcomers in the church in Ephesus, they are to overcome this one thing, and that is the lack of first love. Oh, if they repent and turn to the Lord, that first love will be restored. And whoever's first love is restored is an overcomer. To the church in Smyrna, there is the call for overcomers. But who are the overcomers? Those who are willing to suffer even unto death for the Lord's sake. They are the overcomers. Who are the overcomers in the church in Pergamos? Those who are separated from the world. The two-edged sword. Those who are not seeking to build a high tower in this world, to be popular, but who are separated from the world, according to the revelation that you receive. Who are the overcomers in Thyatira? Those who hold on to the truth and refuse to know the so-called mystery of Satan. Who are the overcomers in Sardis? Those who walk with the Lord in white garments, the garment of righteousness washed by the precious blood. In other words, to them it is not just an outward form. The form of godliness without the power of it. Who are the overcomers in Philadelphia? We say, well, Philadelphia, brotherly love. They keep the word. They deny not his name. They have a little power. They are all overcomers. But still, you'll find the call to overcome. Overcome what? Lest somebody else get your crown. In other words, you may start well, but you may not continue. Who are the overcomers in Laodicea? Those who overcome this lukewarmness, this spiritual, so-called spiritual pride. Those who have a living relationship with the Lord. Overcome. Brothers and sisters, there is no fixed standard for overcomers. In whatever situation you are, according to the revelation of Jesus Christ, will be the measure for an overcomer. Oh, thank God for that. If he shall set a standard, everyone has to meet to that. Well, to some people, who have been with the Lord for so many years, who have known the Lord for so many years, well, of course, they have the advantage of it. For those who are newly saved, for those who know very little, how can they be overcomers? But thank God, you can be an overcomer according to the revelation of Jesus Christ that has been given to you. To those who are given more, more is required. He is the living God. Oh, brothers and sisters, who are the overcomers of the church? The overcomers of the church are those who respond to the testimony of Jesus. Who respond to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and in whom is the testimony of Jesus. These are the overcomers. Why overcomers? They respond to the Lord, not just for themselves. They respond to the Lord for the whole church. The remnant built an altar with 12 stones, the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, brothers and sisters, how can the testimony of Jesus Christ be maintained when the church in general has failed? How can God's purpose concerning His church be fulfilled when God's people, the majority of God's people, are not responding to God? There is a way. It is God's way. Today, God is calling for overcomers. When the church is normal, you do not have that call. But when the church is abnormal, the call for overcomers is out. Who has an ear to hear? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Brothers and sisters, I do believe the Lord is calling His people. You know, sometimes you wonder, why? It is true. Many have responded, but many more have not. If you have to wait until all have responded, how long? How long will you wait? Is there any? Thank God for the many that have responded to the call. Give themselves to the Lord for the church. And as the Lord sees the overcomers, God said, it is done. It is done. Of course, tonight we just mentioned the principle of it. But if you read the Word of God more carefully, you'll find this principle is there all the way through the whole Bible. It is God's strategic way of recovering. So we are living in the end of the last days. And brothers and sisters, oh, that God be merciful to us, that we are not only saved, but we may be overcomers. How? Can we overcome? No. The only secret to be an overcomer is to see the Lord. He is the first and the last. He is the living one. He became dead, and behold, he is alive. And he has the keys of death and Hades. Brothers and sisters, actually, there is nothing we can do. We are as weak as all the others. Maybe we are weaker. And because we are weaker, we cannot trust in ourselves. We look to the Lord. And as we look to the Lord, you will find in every letter, you will find the Lord is here, ready to fulfill the testimony in you, but by Him. That's the secret. So may we look to the Lord. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think of. Thank God there is no way. May we pray. Just be before the Lord.